Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
So my favorite quote is, when the universe wants you to grow, it makes you uncomfortable. But I think that somebody just said like a variation of that quote.
Okay.
I just think that it's so true. Like in all the phases of my life that I felt like really unsettled or that I just felt like I didn't really know what was going on, it was always right before like a really positive or exciting change for me. So okay. I just think that that's my quote.
So today, obviously, we have Larissa on board.
Hey,
Larissa is not only my roommate and my bestie and fellow witch sis, but like also I wanted to interview you because I feel like you are very, like, you're someone that I know is really good at being like fearless, you're really good at being forthcoming, and you're really good at being authentic but putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. And so I thought we could go over and talk about those things today. But I mean, feel free to introduce yourself, tell the world, you know, what you do for a living, a little bit about yourself, and how you got into it.
Okay, sure. So hi guys, my name is Larissa. As you know, I am Kaylin's roommate. I work in PR and social media, so I've had like a couple different jobs in a similar role. I've worked in like the beauty industry, I've worked in cosmetics, and then essentially kind of just like a middleman between like brands and marketing and like influencers is, I would say, in a nutshell, what I do.
Okay, so were there a lot of hobbies that you had growing up that like planted you where you are today?
Absolutely. I think like this is something that you and I really relate on. I was an only child growing up, so I spent a lot of time like on the internet and just kind of like poking around, and one of the things that I really fell into was Pixo.
I love a good Pixo site.
So if you don't know what Pixo is, it was like before Tumblr days, before MySpace. It was like this platform where you could essentially just like create your own website. And it was like very basic, like HTML and like GIFs and like photos of like Panic at the Disco. Like it was just very preteen, every preteen's dream. And that's kind of like how I fell into like creating and like learning how to do like Photoshop and like stuff like that. And then from there, I mean, like MySpace came about, and then it was like Facebook, Tumblr, and I kind of just like somehow ended up doing it for a living.
Right.
But I will say that like I think like my early days that I kind of spent online in those like online little weird communities of the internet. Exactly. Is kind of like what sparked the interest in social.
Right. And it just like rolled out, and then did you go to school for it?
Yes. So backtrack a little bit, after when I was in high school, these like social media like PR jobs didn't really exist, so I kind of thought that I was gonna go more into like broadcasting, journalism. So that was, I knew I wanted to work in communications, but in terms of like media jobs, there wasn't really a lot out there. This influencer like social Instagram wave was just kind of starting to come about. So when I was applying for college, like I didn't really know what I wanted to get into. So I started thinking I was gonna get into journalism, and then somebody had kind of just like brought up PR on a whim. And like even like 4 years ago, PR was more so just like being a publicist or like being a manager. It was a lot of like dealing with like magazine publications, like PR a few years ago was completely different. But I knew that it was kind of linked a little bit to social media. So I kind of just like stuck on that wave and did this PR program. And then from there, that's kind of how I got to where I am.
Like grew to what it is now.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that, you said the word communications, because I feel like that's another thing too. When I was like trying to think of specific questions I wanted to ask you, I was like, hey, you're really like authentic. You're really forthcoming, but you're really good at communicating. Like you're really good, I feel like, at when you're told, like every time I go to do anything, I'm always like, what's the objective here? Because you're always like, once you know an objective, you know how to communicate that objective.
Thank you,
Do you feel like that's always been a thing for you, or did you learn that skill?
Yeah, I think that I've always kind of just like defaulted into being interested in like that side of things. Like when I was in high school, like I did the announcements for my school.
Okay, love that.
And I used to just like love making like little music videos, and I don't know, I think like I said, like Pixel, like all of these things, it's very related, but it wasn't really like an industry. Like I feel like I had skills and I had interests, but I didn't know what that meant for me as a job. I was like, do I want to be a video editor? Like, do I want to work on film sets? Like there just like wasn't a path for me. And I think that that's really cool about like where we're at in terms of the world, is that like I was able to kind of take those interests and turn them into a job.
Right.
I digressed a little bit, but
no, but that's true. I feel like, okay, so what are your thoughts on social media today then? Like, what do you think about it from a personal standpoint as a user yourself?
Yeah.
And then what do you think about it for businesses and like work and like being in the office and on the corporate side of things?
Yeah. I think like between the two, it's just like such a good tool to really kind of like level the playing fields in terms of like who you can speak to. Like I think back in the day, unless you were like a big brand or a celebrity or you already had this platform, like you couldn't really get your voice out there. If you had an idea or something you wanted to start, it was like you paid for advertising, you know what I mean? Like there wasn't really a middle ground aside from just like telling people about it to kind of get your voice out. So one thing I love is that whether you're like a student or an entrepreneur, or you're like somebody who's like, my mom has an Instagram account to talk about her meals, like no matter who you are, a brand or whatever, you can kind of like, based on how good your content is and like what message you have to put out there, you have the ability to do so. So I think it opens a lot of doors in that sense, which is really cool. As a personal user, like I would say one thing that I feel like kind of negative about social media is just like I have a hard time with just like the authenticity behind it. And I think that that's such a trend like amongst all users, like whether you work in PR or not, like people can really see through like sponsored posts and like all of these things that we always talk about, like kind of like where's the line of like, you know what I mean, like getting the message out there but staying true to yourself. So I think that it's a positive and a negative in the sense that like people are being more accountable, like they have to, they know that their audience is smarter and they can kind of pick up on when they're just like being fake or just like selling something to sell something as opposed to really like just wanting to share a message and get something across. So I think like in terms of positive and negative, it's like finding that balance.
Do you find that, so like for yourself, for instance, you obviously have like your own personal like socials, and then you also go in and you work and you like you see both sides.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you get a good grasp on why people struggle with that authenticity? Like, do you think it's, do you feel like when people are struggling with it, do you think it's because they're caught up in trying to do what they think should be done, or are they struggling with being authentic because they're just, they don't know who they are? Like, what do you, what do you think this, like, where do you think it's coming from?
I think it starts with like you said, like not knowing who you are. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but I think it's just like, I'll take you as example.
You'll
like, you know, your interests, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, kind of like what you're an expert in, you know, what people come to you for advice. So I feel like you're really good at like saying yes or no to things based on like whether or not it aligns. But for someone who's maybe a bit younger, or it might not even be an age thing, but like if they don't have as much like life experience, or they don't really know what those interests look like to them, I think it's a lot easier to kind of get swayed in different directions of like what you think is right, or what you think is authentic, or what you think is like moody or cool. But if you don't like fully know like yourself and your values, it's really, it's a lot easier to kind of like flip-flop on stuff like that.
That does make sense. Do you ever find that it's hard to be like fully authentic or fully just speak your truth, share your art, whatever it is, tell your story, knowing that there's people that are at your job and like at your work that can see what you're posting.
So I think that this is something that I really struggled with at the beginning of my career, just kind of like finding that balance between like what is like being authentic and what is being irresponsible. I think that you kind of have a choice like what industry you're getting into on top of what role you're in. So like if you are somebody who maybe it's really important to you that you can dye your hair whatever color you want, that's a stupid example, but like don't work for a brand that would kind of that doesn't really align with like that point of view. Like kind of it's really important to work in an environment that would kind of value you for who you are. Like I know people who are in corporate roles that have like bright pink, I don't know why I keep using hair examples, but
it's very out there. People see your hair.
Exactly.
It tells a story.
And like, I think especially like whether it's beauty industry, whatever it is, that it's kind of like if you aren't in an environment where you can feel like you'll be yourself, I feel like you're gonna get burnt out, you're not gonna excel. Like you can only kind of play that role for so long. Right. And there's a difference between like, you know, being professional and just doing things to get experience and also just like losing yourself in the process.
Right.
And I think that like generations and leaders now are a little bit more flexible. Like if you're a good person and you're good at what you do and you're talented, it doesn't matter if like what you look like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that that is something that's really important to me. When I first started, I was like, okay, I need to be this like corporate, just like businesswoman, like clean cut. And I slowly kind of started to realize like, that's not really who I am. Like sometimes I speak up, like, you know what I mean? And I think that those are qualities that an employer should value. And if they don't, then it might just not be a fit.
Right.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations, both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
I have like two just total things that I want to go off on that from. So yes. One was the speak up, so remind me on that one.
Yeah.
The first one is, so did you find that when you were looking for a job, mm-hmm. like I know because I know you, your history, but like if you want to explain, did it take you a while to find a job placement that you felt like you could be yourself and be valued for what you are good at and who you are and your way of communicating.
The first job that I had out of graduation was General Motors, and I stayed there for a year, and it was like honestly a great experience. I loved the company, but I don't know anything about cars or like technology or the automotive industry or engineering. So I definitely, I knew kind of like very quickly that even though like it was a global brand, it was such a good experience, and I don't regret that time. It just like wasn't really valuable to me to spend more than like a year there. And I think that a lot of people have a lot of different point of views on kind of like how long you should stay in a job before you jump. And I'm definitely somebody who jumped around a little bit, and I was a little bit concerned, and I'm not gonna lie, like that is something that comes up in interviews. Like for the job that I had now, they asked me like, you've had like 3 jobs since you've graduated. But I think that it's really important, like how do I say this? I think in the beginning stages of your career, that is when you're kind of like absorbing the most information and you're kind of getting the most new experience, and you're kind of transitioning from that like intern student mindset to somebody who's actually like making real decisions and making moves. So it's really important to do that in an environment of people that like are supportive and that really want to mentor you. And if you kind of get somewhere, even if it's like the greatest company in the world, if you get to a job and everybody's proud of you, but the people around you are just shitty, and like you're going to work every day like unmotivated, you're not learning anything, like your skills aren't being valued, then it, like, you know what I mean, I think it's worthwhile to explore other options and not just kind of like stay put to wait like 3 years for a promotion. I think that like our generation, this is something we talk about all the time, like our generation, I think a lot of people who are older would see it as like we're irresponsible or like we just like we're unloyal, we don't have values, but I think like we just have different values, and like we kind of like we want to work for somebody who respects us and who sees us. It's not so much like a status thing or like a title thing, maybe for some people, but I think for us, and it's really just about like being able to use our skills. Like we know that we're I keep saying we're like power
because we've talked about this before.
Exactly.
And like I feel like it is important to, like, I do agree. I think older people think that we're fickle, but it's not. We just, we're taking time before we plant our feet because we have that time. Like, we're lucky. Maybe older generations didn't have that as much. Maybe they had to just grab what there was, because like you said, these jobs weren't around then. But there's so many more ways to get into social media now, or ways to, like, pursue your dream and plant your feet, you know? And why not explore it all and find something that actually attunes to, like you said, like your skills.
Exactly.
Jumping around, it must be hard. Like, what is it that causes that fearlessness to just be like, okay, this isn't working for me, like, I'm gonna jump ship? Like, is it just taking a chance, or do you get, like, a gut feeling? Like,
I think, like, I definitely, it's, you kind of know when you're, like, done learning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I think they're all of my jobs, like, I gained so much from each of them, but I think at all of them it was just a matter of like getting to a point where it's like, okay, like I have kind of done this over and over again, I'm not really being challenged anymore, like, you know what I mean, I'm not really teaching anymore, I'm just kind of at a point where I'm like doing the motions. And I think that some people might look down on that, like, oh well, that's life, like, you know what I mean, you need to do your time before you can move up. But I think like if opportunity presents, and like there's people who are, I think, sorry to digress, but one thing that really like kind of was shaking me a lot is, obviously I was working in the influencer industry and I was like meeting all of these girls, like people like yourself who were my age, and they were entrepreneurs, and like they were just like doing their passions and living their lives, and I'm like packing mailers and boxes, which is great, like I had to do my time. But I think that it was really like inspiring to me to see all these girls who were kind of like my age in these like positions that I really admired. And I think that that's kind of what pushed me to be like, okay, like I'm good at like certain things too, like, you know what I mean, like I don't need to just be a coordinator, an intern forever. And like I don't know, I felt like for social media specifically, it's like such a unique industry, because even if you've been working in PR for 15 years, like Instagram's only been around for what, like 6, 7?
Like, since grade 12 for us,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So that was 2012.
Yeah, so it's like, no matter, like, who you are in the industry, we all kind of started at the same time, and it's like, I grew up on these platforms, and a lot of the people, a lot of my peers did too, so I think that that kind of, like, shook up the, like, quote, status quo of, like, years and working your way up in coordinators, because you have all these people, like I said, who are, like, creatives, who are also, like, the same age as me, like, you know what I mean, doing their thing, and that was really inspiring to me to just like want to like do more.
My question is, because I mean, you and I are on like we're in it. Like yeah. we do it ourselves. We do it like we have our personal things. We have our secret Instagrams. We have our like our personal Instagrams.
Yeah.
Mine is my personal, my work. Yours are like you know what I mean? Like yeah. we've seen all the different sides of it. Do you think? Because like I'm curious what you think.
Yeah.
That in 10 years we're gonna be like, what are this? Like,
that's a good question. I honestly, when people ask me the future of social media, it's just like it's changed so much in the last few years that like it's so hard to say. I definitely think like we were talking about this last night, like I think it's definitely going to be more so like community based and kind of like direct messaging and like less so much about like your like online kind of like persona and right. more so about like your actual content, you know what
like
I mean?
Community.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like we're kind of starting to see that with like them taking away the likes and like all of those little steps. Like I definitely think that it's gonna be more it's interesting because like everyone keeps saying that like Snapchat is dying and it's like it's not really going anywhere because it's like its own. Like I use Snapchat to talk to like my close friends, like I don't right. know about you, whereas like yeah. it used to kind of be more of a social platform. And I think like that kind of like direct, like having that interaction with the people that are like actually in your life but turning it digital is gonna right. be like more is kind of like the direction of where it goes. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, because even just the fact that like how you said Instagram's updating and doing this trial with no likes, they also updated it, I want to say within the last 6 months, with that whole close friends thing, where it's yeah. like you can send things only to your close friends
exactly.
and not to everyone watching.
Yeah.
So that is true. I feel like it could turn more into like a community and people actually interacting with one another.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, would you say it's going to be harder for people to do more like influential deals? Like I know from my side of things,
yeah.
if I get a company that's like, hey, like I want to work with you and I want to sponsor this video, mm-hmm. that's just the way, that's the norm that it's been. But that norm is kind of not working for a lot of people
yeah.
anymore. So if it's turning into more interactive, where do you like, I know you can't predict the future. You don't have a globe. You're not like a crystal ball here and out. Like, where do you see that happening in terms of the mesh of influencers and brands?
And brands.
Damn. It's a hard question. You want to like take a sip?
That is a hard question. I think it's really just going to be like, I think it's really just going to be about like the products that influencers are like actually use. Like I just think there's going to be no room for bullshit anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, you can hold up this. Yeah. It's like,
it's all of that bullshit. Like, I agree.
You know what I mean? It's like you can take like however many Instagrams with the same product like over and over and over again. And I just think it's like it's losing. It's just not effective anymore. Like people
right.
don't believe it. Like brands are sick of it. Like audiences are sick of it. Influencers are sick of it. I think it's just going to be a matter of like what are you actually using, you know
yeah.
what I mean? And that's what's gonna flourish, because at the end of the day, like like there's people that I follow and it's like if I actually value, like I want to know like what they're putting on their skin, but I don't want to know what brands paid them to hold up a product, you know
if
what
that's
I mean?
Not what made your skin look like that.
Exactly.
Don't make me go buy this coffee scrub.
Yeah.
It's like, if you've been using this diehard product since you're
yeah.
12, but you're like, no, this is from the coffee.
Yeah. I think that there's just like there's gonna be no room for that. Like I
right.
just think like people are smarter, and it's just brands are gonna have to like really get creative in how to get their products in the hands of people and like make products that are good enough for them to actually talk about.
Right.
Because I don't know what brand deals are gonna look like, to be honest. Like
so like okay, so that's a really good point, because mm-hmm. my thing is that again too, like on the creator side of things, I always try and look at things from a viewer's standpoint.
Yeah.
Like when a brand's objective is to just sell, sell, sell. Do you think the objectives are going to need to change? Is it going to
yeah.
have to be like, instead of just trying to sell a ton of this products, why don't we just try and get loyal customers that
yeah.
don't just use this one product, but use all of our products? Like,
yeah, that's the thing. I think for social and like bringing it to the business side, like on the corporate side of things, like when we go into these campaigns, like a lot of times we do look at like, is it a brand awareness campaign? Like,
right.
are you trying to drive like sales, are you trying to drive conversion? So I think that these like brand awareness ones, definitely like that's kind of the space that I see it fitting with influencers. It's like, you know what I mean, just like getting it out there, using it. But these like kind of like direct sell, like, you know, link in bio, like
yeah.
how many clicks did you get? I think that that's where it gets a little bit tricky, because it's like if you go into a video knowing that like your objective is like how many clicks this link gets, I feel like
it takes away
you know what I mean? But if you're like, this brand comes to you and they're like, okay, like I think your audience is really aligned with our audience, like we want to share our messaging, like go for it. I think that you would be able to create something amazing and your audience would respect that because it's like, you know what I mean? It's like you're being shown something that actually has value and relevance to you as opposed to just like, here's this lipstick.
Like you know holding it up awkwardly.
Exactly. And,
right. Okay, so now I know that you work in social.
Yeah.
In your job, but I also know that you are very artsy and you're really good at working socials. Like, we met this way.
Yeah.
And I've seen, like, your YouTube channel and stuff like that. Like, I've seen it. So, do you think that it's, do you find it easier to be more confident when you're posting through a brand or when you're posting as Larissa?
To be honest, I really feel more confident. I think back in the day, I would have said a brand because I used to be very just like, I used to care a lot about what people like thought about it. And when I did start getting into posting Instagram, like more so than just like my personal like photos of my friends and stuff and just had a little bit more fun with it, I think that I really started to get in my head about like, okay, well, what is my like image? Like, what is my persona?
What's my personal brand?
Exactly. But I think like, as you kind of like get creative and you have fun with it, you like learn your style. And then I've kind of like taken away from like taking it so seriously and really just being like, okay, I love editing photos. Like I love going out with you and having little photo shoots.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Those are so fun.
Yeah. I think it's just like, you just can't get wrapped up in like what people are thinking about it because nobody, you know what I mean? Like your feed is made for you. Like nobody's going to like your feed as much as you do or me. Like, you know what I mean?
That is such a good, put that on a t-shirt. No one's going to like your feed as much as you.
Exactly.
What a 2019 thing
no
to say.
No one fucks with Lavender Cloud as much as
or Emerald Green.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but that's such an important point. And I feel like you and I've also said this before too, whenever one of us is having one of those moments where it's like, do I post this? And it's like, dude, people don't follow you not to see yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
People want to see what you want to create.
Yeah. To add to that though, I think when you have like a brand, there's also like when you're posting on behalf of a company, you have so many like guidelines and so many kind of like
rules and like structure.
Yeah, structure. You have so much structure that you kind of have to stay within. Mm-hmm. And you're almost kind of like trying to take on the voice of someone else, which is a huge part of PR. But I think that like, it's nice to have your own personal channel. And like when you work in social media and everything you're doing around creating is kind of like job focused, it's nice to have like a personal outlet to just like play around with things.
So I know based on like my end of things that in a lot of ways when you post on social media, like you're almost creating your own personal brand.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Like I know that you know how to build a brand for a company, but like when you post as Larissa, are you posting as like you're almost building your personal brand, like your aesthetic, your moods, the edits you do, you're creating that, you know, sequence of events that people will start to know is your mood.
Like, yeah. It's funny because I always struggle with this and whether or not like everybody does it or if it's just kind of like if you're in the industry.
In this world.
You know what I mean? Because I definitely like, I look at my feed, like I don't obsess over it, you know what I mean? But I definitely like, I have my colors,
themes,
like I wouldn't put red on my feed. Like there's definitely certain
neither of us would ever put red on the feed. Red is always S.
Yeah, there's no red. So I definitely think it is good if you are more of a creative person and like photography, video, if your skills kind of align with like what Instagram entails,
right.
Then I definitely think it's an opportunity to have a persona and kind of like showcase your art.
Right.
But I do also have friends who just kind of use Instagram to like look at memes and like you know, and post pictures of their dog, which I think like if that's kind of like what you're into and like one of my best friends, Sarah's like, she's studying science. Like she does not give a shit about her feed, you know what
right.
I mean? But she uses Instagram like every single day. So I just think it really depends on like what your interests are and like your Instagram is whatever you want it to be, and that's the great thing.
Right.
About it.
So it's kind of like, what is your objective with using social media?
Exactly.
So, given that, then,
yes.
would you say you're a pessimist or an optimist then when it comes to the future of social media? Because what are people's objectives? We know ours, but you see so many sides of the spectrum of like you said, you have friends, but you also like, you work with people. Like, I'm always so intrigued because I'm like, I'm always by myself in my cave. And I'm like, you see, you meet, you talk to so many influencers. You yourself, I would consider you to be an influencer, like, in a way. Like, I feel like you have influence. You create art, too. So you see a lot of different people's objectives. You see brands' objectives. What do you think about the future of social media in terms of it being a good, safe, happy place? Or potentially, like a negative place or a place that can trigger a lot of like mental health issues, like that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely think it depends on the day. No, I'm kidding. There's been times where I think it's really easy to kind of like look at social media as a whole, and like when people, like there is a lot of toxic kind of behavior surrounding it, but I think that one good thing about social media, and even like more so lately, is that I almost feel like people are being held a little bit more accountable.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, it was like you had a platform, like you could just say whatever you wanted to say and then just like bop out, and it was like, okay, like, you know what I mean? Like I said my piece.
Yeah.
But now it's like with this, even like this whole, like, I hate to bring it up, but the James Charles, like Jeffree yes. Star, it was almost like these people got into this toxic behavior, and then it was a matter of like people backtracking, being like, I made a mistake, like I regret saying these things, I didn't understand like the impact of my words and my actions. And I think that like as a community, like we all went through that together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm not in the beauty guru space, and like I was invested, and you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I think that whether or not you like follow the drama or not, it's not even about that. It's just about like these people kind of like said something, like made a mistake, admitted to it, apologized, and we're accountable, and we all kind of like learned a lesson from it. So in terms of like optimism, pessimism, I think that there's definitely toxic behavior on social, just like there is in real life.
Right.
But I do think that people are being more accountable, and there's it's also just a space to like learn and grow and like hear other voices. You know what I mean? Like whether you're looking for like people that are like-minded to you or not, it's all there. So like you can really kind of like hear different opinions, and I think that as a society, that can be a good thing, like to a degree, as long as there's more like positives than negatives, if that makes sense.
Right. Like, as long as people are keeping their objective positive.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. That makes sense. I know you mentioned earlier, you said something along the lines of speaking up. Oh, here we are back at that second thing I never came back to.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, where are we? Here we are, folks. We have landed. So, I mean, we've talked a lot about staying authentic mm-hmm. and being yourself. So when it comes to confidently posting, or maybe even just like confidently, like you were saying, there was people that were being held accountable in the James Charles situation.
Yeah.
So how do you know when it's almost like, for one, when people are speaking up out of hate,
mm-hmm.
when people are speaking up out of truth, or when people are just, or shouldn't speak up at all? Like, where does the confidence come from to own your truth and put your shit out there?
Yeah, I think, okay, so one of the things that I used to say like early on in my career is I would be in meetings, and I think when you're starting out, you almost kind of like want to like prove yourself, so you just like talk to talk, or you just kind of like chime in just to like give your two cents. And I kind of like took a step back, and I was like, okay, like don't speak, but just like really, before you say something out loud, like just ask yourself the question, like, is this adding value? You know what I mean? Like, is this bringing something to the table? Because I think like a lot of times, if you aren't confident, you might just kind of like chime in because you don't want to seem like you're not engaged. And then you chime in and you don't,
damn,
you know what I mean?
That's huge.
You don't really like believe in what you said. So then you start to like backtrack and not feel confident. So I think it's really like understanding how you add value, and then like only really speaking until you're confident when you're doing so that you're not just kind of like talking to talk, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
You're not just like adding fluff to a situation.
Exactly.
You're not just like posting to post.
Exactly.
I love that. Even in terms of posting, I feel like that's huge. It's like, is this adding value to the internet world, or is this just to blow air up my butt?
Exactly. And it's like, even if it's a selfie, like if you look fire, that's your value.
Like, you're welcome.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm not judging anyone's values, but I think it's just like, it's a good way to kind of like filter yourself and really kind of understand what your own intentions are. Because like, if you are a little bit insecure, like you're not really confident in what you're saying, that's when it's so easy to just like, you know what I mean? Like say the wrong thing, or just like
just
talk
speak
to
speak.
Talk. Yeah, exactly.
Damn. So. I love that. I need to hire you.
You should be my publicist.
Okay, so then my last question.
Yes.
Sweet dove. We dove into so many different topics.
Yeah.
Like, pertaining to social media, pertaining to getting a job in social media.
Yeah.
But I guess my biggest question when it boils down to it is, when it comes to getting out there and just speaking your truth, whether it's online or, you know, going after your dream job, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
what would you say your biggest piece of advice is?
I think my biggest piece of advice is really just like, well, first, like, you need to find out like what your truth is. So like really taking some time with yourself, understanding like what your skills are, what your interests are, like what you have to offer the world and what you want to offer the world. Right. And then kind of just like refining those as much as you can so that you, like I said, are just like an expert at your craft. And then we live in a time right now where even if you're like, even if there isn't a job title that is like directly linked to the things that you like to do, or there isn't an industry that you feel like makes sense for you yet, there is a need for like for everything, especially online. And and social media is a tool to connect you with the people who need those skills. So I think like something that I've always done is like, whether I'm working like corporate or agency, or I'm a student, or I'm trying to just like volunteer or like meet new people, like I'm constantly kind of just like connecting dots of like what I'm good at and like what the people around me are looking for, or like what opportunities they might be able to like, I don't want to sound like I'm like an opportunist, but I'm
no, but you don't sound like that at all. You're basically saying like knowing your own skills and then seeing when an opportunity arises, like where you can fill in a gap.
Yeah. And just basically being creative and in kind of like your approach for your career. Like you don't necessarily, not everybody needs to like go to university, stay in school, but like
don't not go exactly. If you want to go.
No, but I'm just saying like there's so many now like different directions and paths that you can take. And I think that it's really just about like knowing yourself and like finding how to make that fit in society. Like,
yeah. No, I guess that's true. Just like basically own your shit.
Exactly.
Find out what it is and then own it.
Exactly.
Well, thank you anyways for coming out and being on my podcast.
Thanks.
I'm so glad
you're here.
Definitely have to have you back.
This was so much fun.
And I'll leave all of your stuff either down below or just Larissa.Newberry, right? You changed it.
I did change it.
So go check out Larissa and thank you. Cheers.
Cheers.
Woo.
Bye guys.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.